in the world of sports. She's got next. Next. Here's Jordan Robinson.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of She's Got Next. I'm Jordan Robinson, your host and overall yapper on all things women's sports. Once again, we have an amazing show for you. We've got the latest headlines, the most up-to-date news, and we have an incredible interview for you later on with a member of the inaugural Athletes Unlimited Softball League champions, the Talons. It's all here, so stick around for that. You won't want to miss it. Also, side note, I just want to shout out and give another thank you to everyone who has reached out saying how much they love the show, enjoy the show, how they catch it in their car or listen on the podcast later on. I really appreciate you and thank you for sending those messages and finding me on social media to tell me that. So I really, really appreciate it. Had to shout you out. Okay, so in case you missed last week's episode, please, please go back and listen. I know I don't typically get on here and beg, but like, this is one that you got to go back and listen to. We had a time, okay? I recapped WNBA All-Star Weekend in Indianapolis, Indiana. Natasha Cloud from the New York Liberty winning the skills competition and her teammate, Sabrina Ionescu, taking home the three-point championship again. The first player to repeat as champion besides Allie Quigley was a really big deal. And Team Nafisa Collier won the All-Star game while Collier also was awarded the MVP. The game was meh, but the weekend was awesome. So that's what we more talk about. It was not a lot of defense, not great basketball, but that's okay because the players had to go back and play just a couple days later. So they were not going to play hard. We knew that. I called on my friend L. Duncan, host of ESPN SportsCenter and Vibe Check, to come on and reminisce with me about WNBA All-Star. But we also dove into the hot topic of the WNBA's collective bargaining agreement that is currently in active negotiations. WNBA All-Star ignited some talking points around the league CBA when the players wore "Pay Us What You Owe Us" t-shirts right before the All-Star game underneath their warm-ups, demanding the league pay them more money because of major network deals that would be dishing out $200 million a year and expansion teams paying $250 million each to join the league over the next few years. So Elle and I were able to vent about this disturbing reaction from outsiders saying WNBA players don't deserve more money or the league is losing money. So why should these women professional athletes get paid more? It's ridiculous. We dive into all of that. I truly think I could talk about this for another hour and we could do a whole other episode about it, but I have homework for you. Go back and listen to the last episode of She's Got Next with L. Duncan, where we talk about all these things, but also my other podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. We released a special episode last week covering CBA basics. I interviewed Tamika Tramaglio, who is a former executive director of the NBA's Player Association, and she helps them reach a landmark $50 billion CBA in their last negotiation. So she explained a ton of information about the process. She played devil's advocate on the league's point of view and gave advice on what the players should be asking for. It was a great listen. Okay, so that's your homework. Then you'll be the smartest person in the office when the topic of WNBA CBA negotiations comes up. Okay, you know I got you. I'm always looking out for you. All right, on today's episode of She's Got Next, we are going back into the world of professional softball as the inaugural Athletes Unlimited Pro Softball League wrapped last Sunday. The Talons swept the Bandits in a two-game series. In game two, pitcher Montana Fout. We are going to talk about her again later, but she pitched a complete shutout against the Bandits, who had the hitter of the year and the MVP. That's the same player, Erin Coffell. She is a beast. She was also on the all defensive team. Even though she was stepping up to the plate, it didn't matter. It was a shutout. But the Talons also had Defensive Player of the Year in Hannah Flippen, and they had a defensive star in Tori Vidalis. Go on Instagram right now, not if you're driving, but when you park, and look up Tori's incredible double play from the champ game. That was right when the Bandits were kind of getting some momentum, trying to make a comeback, and that double play just nipped it in the bud, kept all the momentum with the Talons. It is such a great video. It was inspiring. So I can watch that on repeat. All season long, the Talons have been the team to beat. They were the regular season champs as well. And it just seemed like all the pieces fell into place from the inaugural draft to make this dream team. They finished 18-6, and now they are able to hoist the championship trophy for the first time in this iteration of Athletes Unlimited Softball, where it's multiple teams playing against each other. If you remember, if you've been following along all season, many episodes ago, back in June, I interviewed the AUSL commissioner, Kim Ang, about her excitement and expectations leading into this first season of AU softball on this level. It feels bigger. It feels brighter. It was a bigger stage. And she just talked to us all about what they have done to really make it feel like a pro league. Athletes Unlimited had softball previously. There were other professional softball leagues that kind of started and fizzled, but it was more Athletes Unlimited before was more run like how they do their other sports leagues, because Athletes Unlimited has basketball, volleyball. We've talked about it before, where it's an individual point system and a single individual champion. But this was the first time around where it was really a women's softball pro league with four teams: the Bandits, Blaze, Talons, and Volts, traveling across the country, culminating in a best of three championship. From the outside looking in, and I know from my feed and what I have been seeing across social media, it feels like this first season exceeded expectations. Let's look at the numbers, okay? These come directly from AUSL. 20 sold out games, 347,000 peak viewers during the championship game, over $1 million in merch sales, 240 million impressions on social media with almost a 500,000 social media followers to boot, and 5.3 million page views to the AUSL website with fans eager to learn more. That was me. I felt like I was checking that website so often because I was like, wait, so what does this mean? How long is the season? What's the schedule? What's the roster? That's what happens when you have a new league. And that's super exciting that they just were so prepared for all of these things. I mean, the social media impressions are real because I feel like they had videos, they had fan reactions, they had top plays. They really sold it as this new exciting league. And when you see the sold out stadiums, it makes you want to go to a game. It makes you want to experience it for yourself. And these weren't games, you know, on some Joe Schmo network. They were on ESPN. So I think that also just made it feel bigger. The landmark partnership with MLB also made a huge difference. AU's softball players were featured during the MLB's All-Star Weekend. The MLB had articles written about the athletes on their website, so many social impressions they were sharing, collaborating, posts. This is all a really big deal. Commissioner Kim Ang's long history with the MLB, her being the first ever woman general manager, helped bridge this partnership, and it has already shown dividends. When you think about the explosion of the Women's College World Series this year. Game 3 of the 2025 Champ Series, the deciding game, was the most watched NCAA softball game ever, peaking at 2.7 million viewers. Yeah, that. Mixed in with softball making its return to the 2028 Olympics, the momentum is hot, sizzling for softball right now. And they're going to keep riding that momentum, which I love. I feel like the marketing, the calendar of events is so purposeful, and it has purposely and perfectly positioned this league to doing great things. So starting August 2nd through August 31st, it'll be the AUSL All-Star Cup, which is a four-week session where 60 professional softball players competing, utilizing Athletes Unlimited innovative format in Rosemont, Illinois, which is a huge hub for softball. We noticed that all year. And Raleigh and Greenville, North Carolina. So this is just one more thing. They're like, okay, the season ended, but before we start next season, which is going to have a little bit of a different format, I feel like this was kind of a tester year with the different teams and kind of them being at the same spots. Next year, I believe it's going to be more of a traditional, you know, different teams are traveling to different places and you can always watch the softball league. But capitalizing on World Series and then capitalizing on this season and the championship game, instead of just going away for months, they are innovative and thinking of different ways to keep the audience hooked, keep the players at the forefront. And an All-Star Cup, it's not just one game. It's a month-long nearly cup. I think it's so smart. So smart. So in a little bit, we're going to hear from Sydney Romero, a midfielder from the championship-winning Talons. She's going to break down what it felt like to really finally feel like a pro. She's also going to break down how they pulled out that final game. Hint, her home run had a lot to do with it. How her family is deeply rooted in softball and baseball. Such an incredible story. Can't wait for you guys to hear that. And what gets her excited about the future of softball? I'm telling you, you guys, this is just the beginning. Softball has been brewing for many, many years, but this is just the beginning, and it feels like a launching pad for women's professional softball. So that's coming up soon. But before we get to our guests, let's dive into the Women's Sports Week recap. Okay, so remember last week when we talked about Venus Williams? Remember her? She is at the City Open in Washington, D.C., and she won her first singles match since 2023 at the age of 45. One of the best stories in not only women's sports, but all of sports throughout the week. Well, now she's making more headlines because she was awarded a wild card invite in mixed doubles to the U.S. Open, the next big tournament in tennis and on tour. She'll be back on her own stopping grounds in New York, where she won the singles title back-to-back in 2000 and 2001. I love this for her. And yes, now we're going to watch mixed doubles because we want to see if Venus Williams can keep going on this incredible run that she is on. And she looks good. She said she feels good. She had everybody cracking up that she came back to tennis for the benefits. It's just been great. So I love this for her. And I love this for us tennis fans as well. As for the winner of the DC Open, it was Canada's Leila Fernandez. She won 6-1 and 6-2 in the hard court final. So we're excited to see Leila Fernandez also on the U.S. Open stage. All of our favorites are coming back for the U.S. Open. Looking forward to that. On to golf, Lottie Wode won the LPGA Women's Scottish Open by 3 strokes in her professional debut. Think about that. The starting from the top. There's no starting from the bottom. Starting from the top. That is so exciting. She'll head straight into the AIG Women's Open that takes place July 31st to August 3rd. A shiny $9.5 million purse is up for grabs. So make sure to tune into that. Lastly, the Toyota USA Track and Field Outdoor Championships is here. Finally. Also taking place July 31st through August 3rd on NBC, you'll find all your favorite track stars competing for the top three spots in each race. That will ensure that they make the team for September's World Championships in Tokyo. The meet takes place in Tracktown, USA, Eugene, Oregon, and will feature athletes like Tara Davis Woodhull in the long jump, Sydney McLaughlin Lavrone in the 400 meters, and Gabby Thomas in the 200 meters. So make sure to watch that. I can't wait. I can't wait to see it all over my feed and share it as well. All right. I hope you feel caught up and primed for another great conversation coming up next after the break. We're going to hear from professional softball player Sydney Romero, fresh off her AUSL championship win. It is a great conversation. Stick around for that. This is She's Got Next with Jordan Robinson.
From Odyssey Sports, it's She's Got Next with Jordan Robinson.
Today, we have a champ in the building, Sydney Romero, infielder for the Talons in the Athletes Unlimited Softball League. Sydney, welcome to She's Got Next.
Thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited.
I am so excited to be in your presence. I am so excited for you. I know, thank you for taking some time out of celebrating to come and chat with us. But first, when you woke up Monday morning as a champion, how did that feel?
I seriously felt like I could go and play another game. It was the weirdest thing. Like we won, and then I woke up the next day and I was like ready to go. I'm like, when is it going to hit me that like I'm tired? And it really didn't hit until the second day, but it was cool. It was more of just, you know, reliving the moments and thinking back to our series against the Bandits. They're a great team. And, you know, a lot of little things had to have happened in both games for us to come out on top. And it was just exciting. It was fun to think about all of the moments and think about, you know, just what we all did. And yeah, it was exciting.
Well, let's talk about what you did to be the inaugural champions. Let's walk us through that final game, because I'm sure the emotions were high. There were rain delays, weather delays that kept putting it off, which I feel like, especially in this type of situation, adrenaline's high. You kind of want the game to keep going and get over with because you're feeling that. How did you kind of work through that as a team?
Yeah, I mean, when the game started, I think we played, gosh, a couple of innings, and then the rain was coming, and then we were in a delay, and we were in a delay the day before. So, you know, I mean, delays can go either way. It can go, everyone kind of goes down, or, you know, you guys stay on top, and both teams stayed on top. So I thought we both did a good job of just maintaining our energy and all of those things. But once the delay hit, we went in the locker room. We kept playing Mafia as a team, and then some of us would go off and do our own thing. But then we would regroup and make sure we stayed in the same headspace that we needed to be in. But the game flew by in the beginning, and then once the rain delay hit, after that, it was like, okay, like it was kind of a good break for both teams to like, okay, what are our adjustments? Because we hadn't scored a run yet, neither team. So it was more of a like a regroup. What can we do? How can we make a change? Stuff like that. So after the rain delay, you know, people were getting hits here and there. And literally, I'm like, man, this is going to come down to like just something big is going to happen on either side. Like one person's going to get it done. And pitchers are going to pitch great, and it's going to come down to like one simple hit. It's crazy to think about how it all happened, but I think we all knew like it was going to happen at some point. We just didn't know who was going to do it. But man, it was exciting. It was really cool.
It was really cool that you were the person to get it done. I feel like
it was.
You're being super humble right now, but it was your home run at the top of the sixth that was able to seal the deal. That was the run to win it for you guys. And the crowd went crazy. Your team is waiting for you at home plate. What were those emotions that you were feeling in that moment, knowing that you needed to be one person to step up?
Yeah. I just remember like trying to keep it simple going to my at bat. Lexi Kilfoyle is a freaking stud, as you guys all know. And she throws a really good drop ball. And whenever I face a drop ball pitcher, I'm like, man, I have to make an adjustment. Like I can't use my same swing. So I definitely was not expecting a home run off of a drop ball pitcher, but she threw me a changeup and it just kind of fell right into my barrel. And when I swung off the bat, I was like, that's out. Like I just remember my eyes getting really big and I was just like, go, go, go. And then once it went out, I was just, I don't know. It was more of a proud feeling. And then thinking about like rounding third base, running into home plate, just seeing everyone's face, like all happy. And I don't know. That's what's so cool about our team is like they celebrate the success of others. And I really felt that the whole time throughout the year, especially in that moment. And looking back and watching the video, I get like chills watching it because I see the emotion of everybody, of Tori Vidalis and Raylan. And it's just really special to know I was running home to teammates like that.
I can't imagine you getting chills because I watched it probably 10 times and was getting chills because it is all the emotion. And then also the emotion of, you know, the player in the outfield that's like, ah, dang it. Just that.
Yeah.
That emotion from the other team also feels extra sweet.
For sure.
Well, you talked about celebrating each other as a team. Montana Fouts, your pitcher, to be able to pitch a complete shutout in this type of game at this type of level, what does she mean to your team and how were you guys able to celebrate her?
Man, Montana is like on another level when she steps onto the field. She has like an alter ego and she is like locked in, like nothing else matters but what she is trying to accomplish. And I think it's so cool watching her demeanor and her presence on the mound. And she's just a fierce competitor. And I love, love, love playing behind her because of just, she works so hard and she's, like I said, she's locked in, which is the coolest thing. And it's funny because I know her off the field very well and she's very goofy and fun and loving. And then she steps onto the field and it's like, okay, like watch out. Like I'm in game mode. So it's like, it's funny to see. But she did great. And, you know, she's dealt with some ups and downs this season with her injury. So seeing her come out on top and pitch on her home field and win us that game, like she held the Bandits, the best hitting team in the league. She held them and it was really, really cool to watch her compete and make adjustments in game and throw pitches that she wanted to throw. And just seeing her do what she did was really, really fun.
Really cool. Oh, I'm sure that celebration for her was awesome. I mean, I watched that video too of her celebrating that last strike. That was awesome.
Oh yeah. Her taking off the mask, throwing it. It was
the stomp. You can feel the emotions. You can feel it through the screen. Sure. And I know that this team, and I heard you say in a post-game interview how selfless everybody is. Mm-hmm. And you guys were the regular season champs as well. How did you guys try to keep that momentum and keep that mindset coming into the postseason, especially against a Bandits team who is good and who you guys have been battling all season long?
I think the biggest thing, like throughout the year, you set the standard, you set your culture of what it wants to be. And I feel like our team and our coaches did a really good job of like, okay, this is what we do. This is what is acceptable. And for example, you run things out, you run to second base, so there's a pop fly, like little things like that go a really long way with just setting the standard. And I think since the beginning, we really did a good job of that in maintaining it, because in big games and in postseason, the worst thing you can do is change things. And I would say the best thing that we did is change nothing. And we just kept doing what we've been doing all season. And that was playing our game and being a good teammate and playing softball, not being afraid to put a bunt down if it's called to do that, or, you know, not being afraid to just take one for the team if it means like it's going to win us a ball game. So doing the little things right was something that really stood out to me in postseason. Cause I think about how we scored the runs in the first game, a bunt was put down and then you have a pop fly to the outfield that scored a run. You had a routine ground ball that ended up scoring a run. And it's playing the game and knowing the game. So it's really cool to think about and to be a part of a team like that.
I love that when you said the best thing is to change nothing because it's been working so far. Exactly. So you don't want to come in and switch everything up. So that is so important. And you can see that consistency throughout the season. And I wanted to ask too, how do you think your experience winning two NCAA championships with Oklahoma kind of came into play here when you were at this stage, at this level, knowing like, okay, I've done this before. I know what this feels like.
Exactly. I think that was the cool piece is like, I knew I didn't have to do anything different than what I've been doing all year long. And I knew I just needed to show up and play the exact way that I have been. Because how I show up in a preseason game is exactly how I'm going to show up in a championship game. And I feel like bringing that energy to the team and, you know, there's a couple of people on our team who have won it and who have been there. So just being able to play and, you know, hopefully they can feel that off of you and you can feed it off of each other. But just, you know, being the person who can be consistent in that energy. And yeah, I feel like I was fortunate enough to win. So I kind of knew what it took and just, you know, hoping my teammates would just trust, you know, my energy and just what I brought to the table. So it was cool because there was a couple of us in those shoes.
Did you feel like you had or you could step up more as a leader in that way for those who maybe haven't been in these situations before to just remind yourself and remind your teammates of this is what it's going to be like. This is how we can feel. And this is how to kind of react to some of these situations.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think before the game, we all just talked about like there's nothing more or less that we need to do. We just need to continue to play talent softball and just show up how we've been doing it. And like I said, like our standard and our culture to me, like that was the biggest difference. And I just think having that as like our foundation was really special because it really helped us carry on into the postseason. And just when things didn't go our way, we still knew how to win.
Zooming out, this inaugural season of Athletes Unlimited Softball League and pro softball at this type of level just felt so special, just so special from the outside looking in. And I know that you played AU softball before, but how did this kind of feel bigger and different in so many ways?
I felt like a professional. And ever since AU started five, six years ago, I mean, from the start, it's been really good. But this year, with it being the first season of just a traditional league, being on a team again, playing on ESPN, playing in front of sold out crowds, you know, playing with a partnership with MLB. It everything just felt so real. And it's like, man, I've been waiting for this. Like, I'm so happy that I stuck it out to continue to play pro softball for as long as I have. And just to be able to experience this and know that from this point on, it's only going to get better. And to be part of the first, it was, I can't even explain it other than just how special it is to know that we are the first team to win the whole thing and how cool it's going to be looking back 5 years from now, 2 years from now, like next year, like how much it's even going to grow. So it's a proud moment because a lot of us have been in the game for so long and have been a part of this league for a very long time or even leagues before. And just we're like, man, this is going to grow one day. Like it's going to get where it needs to be. And you just have to find the right people. And Kim has done such a great job and John and Jonathan, and we just have now a great partnership with MLB. So it's really cool to see this all come together.
And you can feel that. Like, I know I'm new to the softball scene and I have just been following all the teams, the league. It's all over my feed. I can see the sold out crowd, see the record number of viewership, and it gets me excited. So I love that you say you truly felt like a pro because that's what we're trying to do with women's sports across the board. And so I feel like you can see the growth, like literally from day one to when you got drafted to now, how have you been able to see that growth with your own eyes?
Yeah, I think about like the draft. It was streamed on, ESPN Plus, I believe it was, which is, I mean, it's never been on that before. So, and we've never really had like a real draft like that. Like I had nerves and I was like nervous. I'm like, am I going to get drafted? Like what team am I going to be on? Am I going to play with my sister? Like there were just so many questions going through my brain. But from the start of that, like having a draft and, you know, having the people who ran the draft, Amanda Scarborough, someone who is huge in ESPN, like having these people be a part of it was really cool. And then, you know, along the way, just continuing to figure out how this league is going to be good and how we're going to grow. And I think the coolest part is AUSL really like listened to the athletes who are in this league right now currently. And they really wanted our feedback of what they think, like, you know, we could do to make this league better and stuff like that. So I think it's really cool that they listen to the athletes and, you know, we have a say in a lot of things, and they're just really trying to make this the best thing, and it's definitely getting there.
Well, one thing that is my favorite part about this season is that you mentioned it, you got to play against your sister, who mm-hmm. was a part of the AUSL as well, played for the Volds, Sierra. What was that like when you guys finally got to play against each other at this pro level, a little different than when maybe you played together or against each other before? How was that for you? And then also just for your family to see you on this big stage?
Yeah. So the last time we played together was in high school. She was a senior when I was a freshman. So that was our last time on the field together. And then in college, we played against each other twice, preseason and then in the World Series, which was crazy. Mm-hmm. And then we've played in pro a couple of times together during AU the last 5 years, 4 years. And this last year was cool. I had a small injury, so I was out in Oklahoma when we were playing the Volts. But this past last week when we played them, it was really cool to be against her on the field. I was just telling, we did had media day today, and I was telling them, like, Sierra is a player who you absolutely love playing with. Like, you love being on her team, but when you're playing against her, you're like, I just want to beat you. Like, I'm going to beat you. She's so competitive, and she brings that fierce, like, just competitiveness out of you. So she's just that person. I'm like, I want to be on your team, like, so I don't get mad at you when I'm not on your team. But she's someone I just want to see thrive, and playing with her and against her is really fun. And every time we play each other is special. And just being able to goof off and just be ourselves and, you know, talk crap a little bit. But my mom loves it. And I know my dad always loved watching us play. But my family just really enjoys watching us on TV and just being a part of it. Every time after a game, we come home to a video of my mom recording on the TV, and she's just like screaming in the background. If one of us gets a hit, it's hilarious. But yeah, it's really special to have those moments with her, and just to have our siblings, our younger siblings, see this as well.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the record is favoring you, you know, in the World Series, Michigan versus Oklahoma, you won that one. Talent, you guys defeated the Volts. So I know the trash talking on your side has kind of upped a little bit, would you say?
It is. I wish I could trash talk a little bit, but I don't. I don't as much as I probably should. But she's funny because she posted something and she said, like, Sid won another national champ or another championship. And I was just laughing at it because of how she put it. And with the eye roll emoji, it was funny. It was funny. But no, she supports
me. I mean, you don't
have
to trash talk. The results are right there. The results are there. They're doing the talking for you.
Exactly.
It is so funny. But you said this, your family is made up of pro ballers or soon to be pro if your little sister wants to follow in your footsteps. But your brother was drafted in the MLB, now playing AA in Portland. Mm-hmm. How did you guys gravitate towards softball and baseball growing up? Because this is a family thing for sure.
Yep. I remember Sierra and I would watch my dad play baseball in like this Metro League in San Diego. And there's this one memory we have. We were both at his game with my mom and he hit a home run onto the freeway. And we were both like, whoa, like, did you see that? And we were just like shook with like how far the ball went. And like, I literally remember the field we were at and like the place in San Diego, and they put us in softball, and my mom also played softball, but just in high school and stuff. But watching Sierra, I was always the younger sister. We're 3 years apart. So I was always the younger sister. Like, I was the back girl on the team. I was always near and around because I wanted to play with her, and they would even dress me in a uniform because I was always wanting to play, but I couldn't play the game. And I'm like, why can't I play? They're like, cause you're a back girl, but you can wear the uniform. So I was never old enough, but that's where it started, is really my parents, my dad playing baseball and just continuing to train. And our dad was our coach for a very long time. And mom was always the supportive one who we would go to when things weren't going our way softball wise. And she was always keeping our head on straight. And dad was always keeping us confident and humbled and pushing us. But yeah, that's where it all started. And then it continued to carry on. And then little siblings, Mikey and Sophia, they would be at all of our games. And I just feel like that's kind of how they got into softball and baseball. And it just kind of carried throughout our family. And we're super blessed and fortunate to have the abilities that we have. And I'm just super thankful for my parents for getting us in this sport.
Well, we know you and your sister are competitive now, but what was that like when you were able to play or when your younger siblings got into the mix? I'm sure that was just chaos, competitive chaos.
It was chaos in anything that we did. We could be literally doing laundry or cleaning the dishes and we're like, okay, let's time ourselves to see who gets it done the fastest. Like the silliest things, it could be anything. Like we would always play a throwing game outside of 5 points hitting the head and then the chest and then your stomach. Like we would like put like a target to like have all these points. And then we would literally get so mad if we didn't win. And sometimes my brother would catch the ball and he would like purposely move his body. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And he's like, no, that hit me in the chest. And we would just go on and on and on, but we would do that all the time. And I just look back and think about those memories and I laugh about them. Cause I'm like, man, that's why we're all so competitive and we hate losing.
It makes sense. It makes sense.
It all makes sense.
It tracks. And then I have to ask, because I was the youngest. So is the youngest Sophia probably going to be the best one out of everybody?
Yes.
She's had to fight through all of you guys and learn and watch from you. So now she's at Boise State. Is she going to be the best one? Be honest.
Sophia is going to be the best one. And I'm hoping I am playing pro ball until she graduates, because to think about having us on a field together, holy cow, I can't even imagine playing with my little sister, but that would be so cool. So cool.
That is awesome. I'm totally biased because I was the youngest and I was the best one because I had to fight my brother to even get a spot for basketball. So that's what helps you. That's what helps you.
Yes.
I love that so much. And I heard you talk about it. You want to play with your sister one day. And the idea that this pro league could continue to grow. And when you think about the future of pro softball, what gets you excited?
To me, I think just the opportunity, knowing that there's going to be more for softball. I remember graduating college and I'm like, okay, well, there's a league, but like, I don't know how long I'm going to be playing for. There's the Olympics that I can shoot for, but I don't know what I'm training for. I don't know what I'm working for. I don't know what I'm playing for. And I just think it's so cool now that my athletes currently at Oregon, I coach at Oregon, they have the opportunity to play professionally if they want it. And I just think it's so cool that they're going to be able to hopefully soon make a living with this and make it a career. And to even think about my little sister having the opportunity to play softball for as long as she wants and not have to work two jobs and, you know, coach and play at the same time and do all of these different things, like that really excites me. And that's a big reason why I'm continuing to do what I do and to even play while I coach. Like it's not easy. It's not easy having to coach throughout season and then train and then go and play. But I mean, I love softball and I love competing and playing the game. So I want to do it as long as I can.
And the momentum too, because this was the first season. It's only going to get better, but you were an Olympian in 2020 in Tokyo with Team Mexico. And now softball coming back in 2028 Olympics. How do you feel like from this league and from the next couple seasons are going to kind of transfer into excitement around the Olympics and softball?
Yeah, I think it's only gonna, you know, push people to continue to play longer, and you have something to play for. You're having a league and you're having a draft and you're having to train and be good and be one of the best out there. And that's really exciting. And with the Olympics coming up, it allows all the athletes going to have a place to get better and to train against good competition and prepare them for who they're going to face. I mean, you're going to have Team Mexico, Canada, Japan, like you're going to have all these great teams out there. And now you're going to have a place where you can train and get better in the U.S. And I think that's so cool.
Well, I'm excited. I know that I am. I've been excited after watching all these clips, all these games. I don't know. Is there an off season for you? Like what's next? I don't think you stop. Do you?
I don't stop. Sometimes I'll think about it and I'm like, when's the last break I had? And I have not had a break since I graduated college, if I'm being honest with you. And like when it comes to softball.
Time out. That was 2019.
I know.
Oh gosh.
Like I've never had a summer off. The most break I've had is like over Christmas break when it's like my 2 weeks off. I don't know what you consider a break, but it depends because I've had like 2 weeks off when I'm off of work and softball and I'm never really not training. Like I feel like I'm always working out because I love to do that, but yeah, I haven't. But my next move is to go on a vacation. Like once I'm done here, I have to go straight into coaching again at Oregon. And then once Thanksgiving hits, I'm like, I should probably go on a vacation somewhere.
Please book the ticket. Yeah. Book it now.
I should book it so I can force myself to go.
Yes. If it's already booked, and don't even get the travel insurance because you're like, dang, I have to go or else all of my money is wasted. Please do that. That is an executive order. We are demanding that. But congratulations, Sydney, on the inaugural championship of AU Softball League. Thank you for being on the show and congrats again. Get some rest.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you again to Sydney for that awesome interview. And seriously, I'm going to check back with her to make sure she goes on vacation. I'm serious about my vacations and she deserves it. We're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we'll dive into the business side of women's sports. You're listening to She's Got Next with Jordan Robinson.
Let's get down to business. Here's what's happening in the business of women's sports.
Welcome back to She's Got Next. Now it's time for Let's Get Down to Business, where we talk about the business of women's sports. It's big business if you are new here. It is very, very big business. So let's go through a few headlines that we got today. So first off, the one of one, Caitlin Clark, Panini Flawless WNBA Rookie Logo Woman Patch. That's a long name. Sold for a record $660,000 at the Fanatics Collect Auction, the highest selling women's sports trading card of all time. It's signed by Clark with the note 769 points and counting. That's in reference to her record rookie points that no one has ever eclipsed. I don't know, maybe Paige can get close to it, but a historic rookie season. She was 2024 Rookie of the Year. She also had 337 assists, a single season record that held for over 20 years and the most by a rookie ever. So I think that is so cool that everyone can see the value that that card houses, but also it's worth something specifically for that rookie year because of her rookie year was just out of this world. So shout out, 660K. Did she get a piece of that? Or, all right, staying with the WNBA, this spring, Sports Business Journal teamed up with Blinkfire to research how women's sports teams are rewriting the playbook on fan engagement on social media. This is really cool. The Dallas Wings lead all professional sports teams with 11.54 engagements per follower. That's outpacing every NBA, every NFL, and every MLB team. WNBA teams occupy 8 of the top 10 spots, with only one NHL team, the Florida Panthers, and one MLS team, San Diego FC, breaking into the top ranking. So the data is clear. Women's sports aren't just competing for attention. They are winning it. And I love this study. It is so, so cool. Okay, lastly, let's talk some salary signings. Liverpool striker Olivia Smith is set to join Arsenal in a world record $1.36 million deal. That's surpassing Chelsea's previous record of $1.1 million for Naomi Girma. I mean, that is big money. And I know that they are leaving the NWSL to go international, but I want women's professional athletes to make a lot of money. So I am really excited about this. And also here on She's Got Next, we have a fully loaded soccer episode for you next week. So come back for more on this as we dive into the Euros and NWSL season. It's going to be great. Thank you for listening to She's Got Next. What an amazing episode. I hope you had fun. I'm Jordan Robinson, and I will see you next time.